This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, it is a magnificent Thursday, and we're going to discuss federal judges blocking the Trump administration. We're going to talk a lot more about race communism tonight, why it's so effective, why it's so deep in the bones. We have emails, we have COVID shot information courtesy of Ron Johnson, the big beautiful bill. All that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to go to a totally different place to begin with. But before I do that, remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours dedicated to you. Email your questions in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, we're going to go to a different place. Actually, we're going to St. Louis right now. Because last Friday, they got a tornado, and it was a bad tornado, and 5 people are dead in the wake of that tornado. Now, after that, the focus has been on the tornado sirens, or I should say more specifically, the lack of tornado sirens. Maybe you didn't hear about this story at all, so let me just inform you, tornado comes. Places that are at risk for tornadoes have tornado sirens. I know because I've lived in places that are at risk for tornadoes. In fact, I've heard the sirens go off. And oftentimes, especially if you're busy, if you're not glued to the radio, television, that's really the only way you know one's coming. You know, it feels weird. The sky looks funny. But until you hear that, you don't know one's coming. The sirens didn't go off. The sirens didn't go off at all. And this, well, the SEMA commissioner, City Emergency Management Agency, they have a lady by the name of Sarah Russell. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't know what she is. She doesn't know what she is. She goes by they, them pronouns. You have the standard lesbian buzz cut. You don't know what you're looking at here, but in the wake of it, this is what it had to say.
SEMA office is very small, and the majority of the time we work closer to business hours unless the need arises, such as what we're doing now, or special events. A lot of that work takes us out into the community, so we aren't necessarily in our office space at all times. We do have a very small staff. I have received reports of people that did hear it. I've heard from a lot of people that said they haven't heard it.
She's been placed on paid leave because the sirens didn't go off. Now, this is not actually a long rant to pile on Sarah Russell in her Subaru Outback. She's already on paid leave. That's bad enough. This is so you and I understand the seriousness of communism, cultural Marxism, DEI, whatever words we want to put on it. We have to understand how serious it is. And we've had similar conversations to this in the past. But here's what I want you to know, because this is what we do. And I do this too. We did it all the time during Biden's presidency. I know I did it. We looked at a president that was obviously not functional. And all we saw were these nutballs on TV, these filthy commie nutballs lying about everything. But in the end, we imagined, oh, you know what? I don't want to put this on you. Me. Just, it's a human nature thing. I liked to imagine this. If it got bad enough, someone would step in. If war breaks out with China, you know, we have this invalid President Joe Biden. He's not functional. And of course, he's filled up the military just like Obama did with as many communist generals and admirals as he can. So we have a bunch of DEI hires in the military. We have a not capable president. And of course, Congress is a disaster. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs was a disaster. But if war broke out with China, China invades Taiwan, and we're sending a fleet over there, and we're about to kick off World War III, if things got bad enough, somebody would step in and take the reins. It's a human nature thing to do. It helps us sleep better at night. Hey, there's still somebody there who knows what they're doing. And of course, they're going to pass these orders and hire this person. And yes, all this stuff is bad on the surface. We get all that. But when it comes down to it, there's a guy. I mean, I don't know his name, or I don't know his job, or I don't know anything about him, but I'm sure, surely there's a guy, right? I mean, there's a guy. If things got bad enough, they'd set all that stuff aside and they'd say, hey, Bill, come help us out. It's serious now. Now we need someone who knows what they're doing. There's a guy, right? But there's not a guy. There were guys, lots of them. In every single industry, every single institution where these people have taken over, everything they've infected. Oh, these institutions were once great, and they believed in merit and promoting people based on capabilities. And it was full of guys, and not only did those guys, not only were they capable, they trained the people underneath them in what they should do and what they shouldn't do. You know what floors me about things like World War II? Because I'm 43, therefore I'm obsessed with World War II like every other middle-aged man. How hard the generals were on the generals underneath them. It's not as if you got the general and it was fine. No. Always getting ridden hard, fast. Go better. Do better. Do better. This is not good enough. I mean, you read these stories about generals who would stay up at night completely stressed out of their minds because of the pressure coming down from the top. You need to do better at bombing. This invasion shouldn't take this long. Why don't the guys have bullets? There were plenty of guys. But under a communist system, whatever kind of communism it is, the guys who are there, they are drummed out. The guys underneath them are drummed out or quit. Because in the end, the religion is the top priority. And when you put people in critical positions that matter, they're going to, as we discussed, they're going to bring that communism with them. They're going to hire more of that communism. They're going to promote more of that communism. The capable people will leave. And in the end, tornadoes rip through your town and slaughter five people because the turbo freak you hired doesn't know anything except how to be a freak. Remember that scene? We've played it for you before many times. I love it. From HBO's series Chernobyl. This huge nuclear disaster is about to make the whole country look bad. People will die. And all the communists gathered in a room, and they got this little speech.
What is its real name?
The Vladimir I. Lenin Nuclear Power Station.
Exactly. Vladimir I. Lenin. And how proud he would be of you all tonight. Especially you, young man. And the passion you have for the people. For is that not the sole purpose of the apparatus of the state? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fall prey to fear. But our faith in Soviet socialism will always be rewarded. Now, the state tells us the situation here is not dangerous. Have faith, comrades. The state tells us it wants to prevent a panic. Listen well. It's true. When the people see the police, they will be afraid. But it is my experience that when the people ask questions that are not in their own best interest, they should simply be told to keep their minds on their labor and leave matters of the state to the state. We seal off the city. No one leaves. And cut the phone lines. Contain the spread of misinformation. That is how we keep the people from undermining the fruits of their own labor. Yes, comrades. We will all be rewarded for what we do here tonight.
What is DEI? We've said it many times before on the show. What is it? The death of everything. Everywhere it's implemented, no matter the industry, it will destroy it. And the ability, the capabilities of that industry will disappear. There's not a guy. There's not a guy you can call on when things get serious. If you allow these monsters to infect whatever institution it is, military, emergency response, schools, it doesn't matter how critical the role, they will bring their sick, demented religion with it. The industry itself will die, and in turn, people will die. Communism kills, now and forever. And there's not a capable man hiding behind the curtain ready to step out when things get serious. He quit long ago. Now you have Trina destroying a city. All right, we're moving on. I want to talk about these judges, and we'll talk about the bill and talk about other things. I want to talk to you about finding the guy, the next guy, the guy you're going to hire. The guy you're going to hire that's going to make your life easier as an employer. I know it's hard to find good people, but they are most definitely out there. Do you know where all the good people are gathered right now? They're already there. It's like there's a big meeting. They're all at ZipRecruiter. They all have their resumes in. They're waiting at ZipRecruiter for you to post that job. Do you think it's an accident that 4 out of 5 employers, they get a good candidate in the first day? 24 hours, you've already got one. Why do you think that is? Because they're already there. They're waiting for you. Stop taking ads in the local paper. Stop asking your friends. The best people you need to take your company where you want it to go, they're all at ZipRecruiter. You get to try Zip Intro, back-to-back video calls and such, free when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, getting ready to head into the weekend any second now. I mean, I know we still have to get through tomorrow, but whatever. I like to consider it a 3-day weekend. And a couple things I need to get out of the way right off the bat. First, remember, Monday is Memorial Day. That is a sacred day in this country. It's most definitely a sacred day on this show. We will be here. We will be doing a show for you. It is going to be 3 hours of, there's not going to be politics. We're not going to screw off. It's going to be a load of history, obviously wartime battle history. And we are going to honor heroes who gave their lives for this country. Remember, Memorial Day is not Veterans Day at all. I understand people were trying to be respectful, and so they like to do this thing of a happy Memorial Day to everyone who gave their lives, and every veteran, and firefighter, and police officer, and every first responder, and the kindergarten teachers too. Stop. It is a day only to honor the fallen and the families they left behind, because those people deserve a day that is not watered down. Don't thank me. I didn't die for this country. It is a day just to honor those people. So keep it that way. And on Monday, that will be our Memorial Day show. And if you have somebody who gave their life for this country and you want their name read on the air, email name, rank, conflict to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. They're already coming in. Name, rank, conflict, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. There, that little programming note's out of the way. Now, This is going to be about judges, because the latest is federal judge blocks a shutdown of the education department. Obviously, that's insane and ridiculous, but we'll come back to that in a moment. Power is a funny thing, isn't it? Because sometimes power is illusionary. Sometimes power is granted, and sometimes power is taken. For instance, we'll make it about my house, which I do a lot. My sons are gigantic, like I am. My oldest is 16. I think he's 6'3", 6'4", already. My youngest is heading that way. They're just the big kids, like I am. Ob is teeny tiny. She's 5'2". She's a small woman. Ob, when she tells the boys to do something, they do it. But that power is them granting her that power, right? Because in the end, when it comes down to it, she can't physically make them do a thing. In fact, they have all the strength in the world to say no, and she can't do a single thing about it. That's power they've granted her out of respect, and I'm glad they do, but that's power they've granted her. Now, they do the same thing to me, but my power isn't only granted. I have the physical power. I can make you do whatever I want. Whatever I want. I'm bigger than you, stronger than you, have more training than you. I have tangible power, whatever you decide. You decide you're not going to clean your room when I tell you to clean your room, and they always clean their rooms when they're told, don't get me wrong. She can huff and puff and yell and scream, but she can't actually make you. Me? I can make you. Now, let's talk about power when it comes to the judiciary. Because I've seen a lot of people today, echoing things that this headline said, that a federal judge blocked Trump. A federal judge blocked Trump. A federal judge blocked the Trump administration. A federal judge blocked Trump. But did he? We've seen this a lot. The Supreme Court blocks Trump. This circuit blocks Trump. This judge blocks Trump. Really? How? I really mean that. How was Trump blocked? Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I understand the judge issued a ruling. I get that. But in the words of Andrew Jackson, how many divisions does that judge have? I just wanted to remind you of something before we move on. We're going to get back into race, communism, because there's all kinds of stuff in the news. I wanted to remind you of something. And in fact, I want to remind the Trump administration of something. There's not a judge in this country that has the actual power to stop you. You are granting them that power, but they don't have the power to stop you. If judges in this country are going to take up the office of the presidency, and they're going to essentially take over the United States of America, and the judges are going to rule, then I would ask the judges to produce an army that can compete with your army. If they cannot produce these things, then you can stop granting them power any day you wish. Any day Trump wishes, he can get up and say, you know what? No. Any day he wishes. Now, you can argue all the things you're arguing right now. That's too far. What if we got... I understand that. I'm not celebrating at all where we are as a country. But the courts themselves, they don't have any power except the power you have granted them. If you stop granting it, the power disappears. I know that's an ugly place to be, but we're in the power game now. They're playing it. You can either play or you can lose. There's no third option. Remember that. Let's talk about race communism next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Thursday. About to dig into some race communism stuff. Before we do that, remember that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get all your questions, ask me anything, emailed in right now. Don't wait. They're already piling up. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We'll have a good time tomorrow. Now, I am aware of the two Jewish people. I don't know if I should call them Jewish people. They were killed because the guy thought he was Jewish people. There was dispute about it. Whatever. Two people outside of the Israeli embassy, two Israeli embassy staffers, were killed last night in Washington, D.C. And there's one of these Free Palestine type guys who did it. So let's discuss race communism, and let's discuss again at length why it is so widespread. So first, remember this. This stuff is going to take a long time to fix. It may take eternity to fix. So I want to get that out of the way first. I just want to clarify what exactly we're up against as we deal with race communism globally. It is in everything. They have spent years putting it into everything. Now, why? This will come back to things from Germany, from Washington, D.C., from everything. Why? Well, I'll put it to you this way. I am not a boxer at all. Certainly do not want to pretend I am. But I am friends with boxers. In fact, I'm very good friends with a Gold Gloves boxer, former Gold Gloves boxer. And he was talking about a lot of his training when he was coming up. And two things he said he was taught right away, immediately, right away, and they practically beat these things into him over a long period of time. The first one was, tell me how not sexy this is, his stance. They wanted to find the right stance for him, his style, his size, because everyone's going to be different, but once they found it, they wanted to beat that into him, that you're always there. Always there. You are always, that's what you always come back to. You're moving right, you're moving left, you're punching, you're not punching. No matter what you're doing, you're going to come back to that stance. And number two, a good jab. You know what a jab is. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. A good jab. Now, why? And I was, well, we were having a long talk about this, and I said, why? I don't understand. Explain it. And he said, well, as long as you have a good stance, that's a defensive thing mainly for him. This is the way he was describing it. He said, as long as I have a good stance, I know it. I know what my stance is. I'm always either in it or going back to it, and I'm comfortable with it. It gives me, no matter what, no matter who I'm facing, a jabber, a brawler, a southpaw, a normal, no matter who I'm facing, I always have a defense of some kind I can use to protect myself because my feet are where I need to be. As long as I make sure my feet are where I need to be, I always have a defense. Maybe it's perfect, maybe it's not, but I will always have a defense. Vice versa, why a jab? Because no matter who I'm facing, no matter what kind of fighter he is, no matter what, I will always have some sort of an offensive option I can use to hit him. Maybe he knows how to block a jab well. Maybe it will work perfectly. Maybe it will only half work. But if I can master a jab, I always, no matter what, first round, 10th round, I always have a way to hurt him. Why do communists in America, the UK, South Africa, everywhere in the globe, why do they love race communism? What is it about it? Because it gives you always, always, you always have a defense and you always have an offense. Sometimes it takes the offensive form. You have all these Free Palestine savages in the country, and this isn't about the Israel-Hamas war. This is in America. I'm talking about America's communist activists. We just had another communist, an admitted communist, show up in D.C. and murder a couple people. Well, listen, As long as you find some sort of racial division, maybe it's white and black or Mexican, or maybe it's Jews and Muslims or whatever it is, as long as you have created that division and you have created that way of thinking in generations of people, no matter what, you will have foot soldiers who will march forward and hurt the people you want hurt. Race communism gives you an offensive option at all times, and not just shooting, not just killing, I might point out. You can always, once you've ingrained that in people, you can always use it to attack your political enemies. You're just saying that because you're just protecting him because he's white. You're just attacking him because he's black. It always gives you an offensive option. And vice versa. It always gives you a defensive option. Here, would you like a couple examples? First, let's talk about the offensive option. You obviously remember St. George Floyd's death. We actually got this email. Mouse Hunter Man Jesse, guess what's going on in Minneapolis this week? A week-long tribute to the anniversary of the death of St. George Floyd. Okay, you remember all that. And you remember what took place in the immediate wake of George Floyd's death and then in the weeks following. Immediately, the animals took to the streets. Immediately, they were burning down city blocks. They were taking over police precincts. They were throwing bricks city after. Immediately, it turned into street communism, violent street communism. Well, if you're the American media, you have to find a way to justify that. Well, here they were.
The killing of George Floyd was really just the boiling point. This is about centuries of systemic racism and racial inequality that has existed in this country. And I think what we are seeing right now is generational exhaustion and generational uprising.
And we know that we have been fighting systemic racism in this country for 400 years. We know that it has found its or reared its ugly heads in law enforcement agencies, in housing, in education, and too many other places.
Well, we need to have a systemic vision for dismantling system.
Hey, these savages are killing a bunch of people. They're vandalizing things. It's been 400 years of oppression. March forward. Murder. Loot. Vandalize. 400 years. Go forth. An offensive option. A way to rally the troops. Rally the troops. Free Palestine. I better go find some Jews to murder. It's a way to rally the troops, and vice versa. It gives you the ultimate shield, the ultimate stance, the ultimate defensive option. No matter what kind of trouble you find yourself in, you can always pull out the race card. That congresswoman's facing charges for assaulting the ICE agent on camera. Listen to James Carville talk about it.
I think they went after her, and I think her race has something to do with it. I'll just flat out say that.
You're asserting that the Trump administration or DOJ is targeting her racially. Why do you assert that?
Because that's what they're about. And they.
The ultimate shield. If you need foot soldiers, you need somebody hurt, you need something vandalized. Look, even if it's just about voting. You need to mobilize people to get to the polls, whatever. If you need to play offense and you have ingrained enough people with race communism, you can simply gin up a mob at the drop of a hat. We've been oppressed for 400 years. It's time to take it to Whitey. And to the streets they will go. And if you need a defensive option, when you've been caught breaking the law, doing something terrible again, and as a communist revolutionary, you will always be breaking the law. Again, you can't have a revolution while staying within the law. When you get caught, it's the ultimate built-in boxing stance. Defensive option. It's just because I'm black! It's universal across the spectrum. It gives you offense. It gives you defense. One of the reasons race communism is so widely used and so incredibly effective. We'll continue on this in just a moment. Before we do that, let's make sure we get your meat right. We have to get your meat right, and you're overcooking it. or you're undercooking it. When's the last time you made pork chops, Chris? I'm kidding. But when's the last time you made pork chops? Pork chops are hard. You leave them on the grill for a split second too long, they're dried out and tough. You pull them off too early, you have salmonella. I prefer to use the IQ sense, you see. The wireless cooking thermometer, it tells me when my meat's done. I set the temperature on my phone. I could even just say, hey, I'm making chicken, whatever. It will set the temperature and it will tell me when it's done. The perfect pork chop every single time. Sound good? You want 15% off an IQ sense? ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, talking about all kinds of things on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We're talking about race communism and why it is so pervasive around the globe, why it is practiced around the globe, protected around the globe in Western societies. Virtually every Western government has embraced it and practices it all the time. In Germany, a bunch of people got stabbing in some horrible mass stabbing incident. I would recommend you don't look it up. Germany came out and said it may have been terror. Why do they do that? Well, it's not a complicated. They understand that their own citizens are probably not going to be pleased that Germany's massively importing people who are barbarians. And so they understand they have to manipulate as much as they can the truth and lie. You see, the saintly immigrant must be protected at any cost. The patriotic citizen must be silenced and smited at any cost. Now, back to America's race communism. Another reason they love it so much. In fact, this may be the number one reason, is if you can get that way of thinking into people, then a natural hatred of country comes along with it. You convince people that whatever country you're in, because they do this in every country, we'll make it about ours. You convince people that the United States of America is inherently racist, inherently evil. Well, once you can get people into that way of thinking, once you have driven that, burned that into people's mind and soul, then the destruction of that country becomes an ultimate good. I've explained it to you this way before. What is one of the most evil countries you can think of? Most people would think of Nazi Germany. Most people would think of Nazi Germany right off the bat. It would be on people's shortlists. Now, imagine if I could take you right now, plop you in a time machine, and put you into Nazi Germany in 1930. And I came to your door. Hey, we're recruiting. Our recruitment drive? It's about taking this country down. This country, you see what they're doing? Mass persecution of Jews, death, evil, racism. Do you want to help me put a stop to this? You want to help me take this country down? You'd say yes, wouldn't you? Well, of course you would. It's an inherently evil place. They're doing evil things. It's a terrible... But what if you could make that same way of thinking about any country you wanted? Doesn't have to be an evil country. They don't have to have pervasive evil on their resume. You just beat it into people. And it starts in school. I need to warn you, parents. It doesn't start overt. It starts benign. It starts in school. And they start teaching your children in history class, America's pretty racist. You know, we got here, these white Europeans, they got here and slaughtered all the Native Americans. Genocide. And then right after that, we didn't do anything in between there. After that, slaves. Lots of them. Brought black people over here by the million, and every American was involved. Everyone had a slave, and they were tortured and whipped. Your child will have to do 3-4 weeks on this. Though I guarantee they'll have to do a class project. You'll spend half a day on the Constitution and a month on slavery. From there, skip it over everything else, most things. Maybe we'll touch on World War II a little bit. Segregation. Did you know what America is? Black people couldn't even eat with white people. That's the country. Anyway, that's it for American history. Have a good summer, kids. We've raised American children this way, and it's risen to the highest levels. Headline, Michigan president, who called racism America's original sin, is selected to lead the University of Florida. This way of thinking has been burned into the American left. And now what it's done is, yes, it's created a generation of people who hate white people, of course, but more importantly, for the communists' purposes, it's created a generation of people who genuinely just think America sucks. Remember this from Sonny Hostin on The View?
And so, yes, when I drive into a neighborhood and it's not July 4th and I'm not in a predominantly military household neighborhood and there are flags, American flags everywhere alongside Trump flags, alongside flags with stars in a circle, I feel threatened because the message is very clear. It's a message of white supremacy. It's a message of racism. And it's a message of their country, not my country.
Once you teach people their country, in our case, America, once you teach them the country is inherently evil and racist, then to be pro-America means you're a racist. It means you're evil. And you should be opposed. For these people, as twisted and sick as these American leftists are, opposing America, tearing down America, is the greatest good. Wouldn't you want to tear down Nazi Germany? Why do you think they've called people on the right Nazis for so long? And the right has impotently tried. I'm not a Nazi. What are you talking about? That's not even fair. It had nothing to do with fairness. It had nothing to do with accuracy at all. None of those things mattered at all. They were framing the debate. They were labeling you. If you can get enough people to buy in to this race communism nonsense that the country is inherently evil, the country oppresses minorities, has always oppressed minorities, well, then putting the country to the torch is as good as burning down Hitler's Germany. That's why they've done what they've done. And that's brought us to where we are. I'll put one final word on this. Western Lensman put together a great montage about the South African thing. We'll discuss that, and then we'll get into some emails and the big, beautiful bill and everything else. But first, let me get to you, and let me get to chalk. I want you to feel better. I want you to feel better. And that's what chalk is. You realize that. Chalk is the ability to feel better all the time. When your testosterone levels are low, you will be sad, you will be low energy, you will be just completely out of gas all the time, it's awful, you'll be cloudy, your mind is cloudy, you can't form thoughts, it's terrible. When you, however, turn that around with natural herbal supplements, everything's better. It works for women, it works for men. Chalk has something for everybody, young, old, it doesn't matter. They might even have somebody for that freak in St. Louis. They have something for everyone. What, Chris? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Get a subscription and you will feel like a new man or a new woman. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.